Well, this morning I'm not going to give a sermon as much as a meditation, and I know that what people really want to do today is sing some carols, and given the temperature, probably not linger for a long, drawn-out sermon. However, our Puritan forebears would have had no problem sitting in a cold sanctuary for a couple of hours, so count yourselves lucky. I considered the possibility of not saying anything at all today, but I read the scripture from Luke, and I really thought it could not pass without comment. I think everybody here is probably familiar with bit players. You see them on TV, you see them on the stage in films, in musicals, in operas, in literature. You see them even in history texts. Probably the most famous example of them for people of a certain age would be from Star Trek. If you remember watching the original series, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, usually accompanied by Dr. McCoy and Scotty, would go down to the surface of a planet to investigate some mystery. There would also be in their party some guy, and it usually was a guy, wearing a red shirt. You never knew his name, but the one thing you did know, that he was toast. He was not going to go back to the ship, because when the monster had to kill somebody, it wasn't going to be Kirk or Spock or McCoy or Scotty. It was the guy in the red shirt. We've all seen this, and it's throughout all of those different forms that I told you about. A character shows up for a scene. They do something, and then they disappear, never to be heard of again. Red shirts don't always die, but they always disappear from the scene. And some of these guys even show up in Scripture. Now, nobody in Scripture is ever devoured by a salt monster or a carnivorous rock, but they show up and they disappear. And today, we have two examples of them in Simeon and Hannah. Great little vignettes about these two faithful people, but you're never going to see them again. But pay attention, because what they do and what they say is important. First, we have Simeon, who is this old man who'd been touched by the Holy Spirit and told he was not going to die until he'd seen the consolation or redemption of Israel. He waited, he prayed, he looked, nothing came along. He must have wondered why he was doing this, but his faith was such that he believed what he was told, and he held on, and then there he was, drawn to the temple, saw the baby Jesus, and held him. Now, what's remarkable to me about this is, I wonder what he was expecting. The consolation of Israel, its Redeemer, probably would have been imagined as a full-grown man. Maybe a soldier, maybe a great politician, a great religious leader. But instead, it was a baby. It was just the potential. And he doesn't doubt that. He's willing to take on faith what he is told and what he sees and what he holds. And he shares this hymn of praise, which some of you may have recognized, because it's part of the compline service that we say at night, particularly in other traditions like the Episcopal Church. These words are known by Christians, but I don't know that everybody really gets a sense of what's going on here. Because when we read, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace," people think that's a nice sentiment to share before they go to bed. But that's not what Simeon is saying. Simeon now knows he can die. The promise has been fulfilled. And he shares these words, which amaze Mary and Joseph. They've had quite a remarkable run of it. First, they have the shepherds showing up at the manger, telling them about this great thing that's happening with their son. Now they're here at the temple, and they're hearing this prophecy. And Simeon doesn't leave before he also shares a note of foreboding with the parents about how Jesus will be the source of much falling and rising in Israel, and for Mary, a broken heart. Then we have the story of Anna, whose name in Hebrew would be Hannah, and to people reading this text would have brought back memories of the prophet Samuel and his mother, Hannah. And she goes out and she shares the good news about the baby, about the consolation of Israel. He's not just heralded by shepherds, or as we learn in Matthew, by magi, but by a prophet. It's the prophet who spoke before John. So what do we learn from all of this? Why does this matter? These people are just showing up and disappearing. But these bit players aren't such bit players. They actually have an important role to play. They're providing confidence and encouragement to Jesus' parents. They're providing a welcome reception amongst a larger community so people are prepared to hear about the message of Jesus. They're preparing the way. You and I have had people like Simeon and Anna in our lives, people who may have shown up for just a brief period of time, but have made a tremendous difference. And we may not have recognized that at the time. We may not have recognized it years later, but it could have been a teacher, it could have been someone at church, it could have been a childhood friend, but we've had people who have been with us and who've encouraged us and who have given us hope. One of the interesting things about bit players is that we often don't know their stories. We don't know what happened to Anna or Simeon after these passages, whether they lived for a long time or they passed away. We don't really know much about what happened other than the bare basics of what their lives were like beforehand. But I'd like to tell you about a bit player I know, an older cousin of mine named Linda. And Linda had had a dream, and she was going to be an actress. And she took lessons, and she studied in New York with Lee Strasberg. And she did a lot of preparation, and she finally hit it big. She got an opportunity to be in soap operas. And this was back in the 70s and the 80s, when these were really big on TV. She didn't have a big role. I couldn't tell you the name of the character she played. But she got to be the woman who would walk onto the set and hand the doctor the clipboard. Or she would be the woman sitting at the bar next to the couple who are having a conversation. But she was on TV. And if you'd watched those soap operas, you would have seen her. But unbeknownst to you, she had another life. She was a special needs teacher. And she worked with kids who were developmentally challenged and provided them with encouragement and training and direction. And she made an impact on so many lives. And this work was hard on her, but she couldn't imagine doing anything else. When the credits rolled, her name never showed up, but she knew that she had had an impact on these kids. I want you to take a look around this sanctuary because you will see here a number of Simeons and Annas. These people are really important in our lives. And we live in a day and age when a lot of screen time is given over to one or two people who are really good about sucking the oxygen out of the room. I'm not naming any names. But everybody matters. The people who aren't recognized on TV or the newspaper on the internet, who don't have viral memes on YouTube, are important. The people who are carrying out the work of the church and the local congregation, who come to worship on a bitterly cold day, who prepare meals for people on Christmas Eve, who host concerts, who serve on a diaconate or the trustees or a finance committee. Does this sound familiar to you? In the church, we can be as prone to focusing on those one or two people as a larger society is. Even in our UCC denomination, we get a lot of press about a couple of people at the national setting of the church. But our church's polity teaches that the national setting is no more important than the local congregation, which is where all the action takes place. So I want you all to feel good. Give yourself a Christmas present, a pat on the back. Simeon and Anna were not bit players. They were a lot more than that. And so are all of you. And I thank God for that.